Hi, welcome to Visual Studio Toolbox. I'm your host, Robert Green, and with me today, Mads Christensen, my first return guest. Thanks.
You're welcome.
Mads was on previously, I think it was back in September, and I ran into him in the hall the other day, and he said, hey, do you know that we have updated extensions? And my first thought was, hey, that's cool for the customers, but that's cool for me because it's another show. So I said, yeah, I did not know that. Why don't you come on? And to celebrate, we decided we would dress exactly the same.
Yes.
No, not really. This is a total coincidence. So anyway, if you go into the gallery and you search on Mads, you will see the extensions he wrote. This web standards update for Visual Studio 2010 SP1 with 158,000 downloads is what you were here doing on the previous show.
Yes.
So switch over to that to refresh your memory. It was September 7th. Only 5,000 people viewed it, which is pretty small for this show. I suspect that it got lost on the front page, or maybe it didn't make it to the front page. People didn't know about it.
Yeah.
It is absolutely not because of you or the content. Although if only 5,000 people watch this episode, you're never coming back. You understand that, right?
Sure.
So anybody who didn't see this episode previously, I highly recommend you watch it. Mads covers the web standards update for Visual Studio, which, if we go back to the gallery, was that one there. Mads, you also showed the Image Optimizer and the precursor to Web Essentials, which was called CSS Essentials,
yes.
I believe. My phone's...
So that was CSS Essentials, and it was something that started out as something that I wanted to explore more. So one of the things that, as a web developer, I've been a little bit confused about is why has the CSS editor never really explored all the possibilities of cool new features, and it seems a little bit left behind. So I created CSS Essentials as an answer to that, to fill in the gaps, if you would.
Okay.
But I didn't really actually do that much. So a couple of months back, I thought, okay, now is a good time. And I actually saw that it wasn't only CSS that was lacking a little bit. It was actually also HTML and JavaScript. So I decided to rename the project to Web Essentials.
Okay. And this is in addition to your daytime job, right?
This is all in the spare time, yes.
Okay. And during the day, just to refresh people's memory, you are...
I'm the program manager for the web platform and tools team.
Okay.
So I own the editors in Visual Studio for HTML, CSS, and JavaScript.
Okay.
Yes.
Excellent. All right. And then in your spare time, you... build additional tooling,
yes.
Which some of which may make it into future versions of Visual Studio. But
some of what we're going to see here actually made it into.
Okay.
So yes, it's a playing ground, but it's also a good way of testing new features.
Yeah. And then based on response and based on whether or not you think it's robust enough to go through the full test pass and get integrated, then the stuff makes it in.
Well, none of the code that I write actually makes it in. I'm not a full-time developer. I am not as skilled as our real developers are. So this is more for testing the features. Of course, they're polished to the extent that I can do it.
Mm-hmm.
You know, so all of this works. But I'm sure that the developers would laugh a little bit about my code when they see it.
But as the PM, when you program manager, who's basically the project lead in charge of features, you talk about these things and you gather that feature team together and you say, these are the features we should have, and by the way, it should look something like this, which
yes.
I did. So
yes.
it's the specs of potential features.
It's also good it's a good way to figure out what features that you might think are really valuable. Sometimes you learn that they're not that valuable at all, or that the way that you envisioned them does not work in certain scenarios.
It turns out it's not exactly what they wanted. They wanted something different.
Yes.
Somewhat different, entirely different.
Yeah, exactly. So it works as a bit as a incubation as well.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Cool.
And then I showed the Image Optimizer a little bit the last time. So there's been some updates to it.
Okay.
For instance, it now works in the next version of Visual Studio.
Excellent.
So that's a good thing. And then finally, the third one, which is the newest extension, is a CSS cop. It's a way for you to... catch common mistakes that you do in CSS. It's like FX cop for style sheets.
Right, excellent.
And they all kind of work well together.
Yep. Cool.
Yeah.
Let's see them.
All right. So, I wanted to start with the image optimizer real quick. So one of the things that we've been noticing is that a lot of websites don't optimize their images. And this is kind of interesting because in a world of mobile web applications and slow networks on your phones somewhere in the world, you know, it's really important that we optimize as much as we can. Yet we see time over again and again that people do not optimize images. And this can be kilobytes to even megabytes of difference by doing that. But it's really difficult to do, right? So you need to have a Photoshop or Paint.net or something like that. And even when you do that, and you do like an optimized version of your images, it's still not fully optimized. So there are some services out there, smushit.com and punypng.com, that are really, really good at optimizing images, lossless. So that means whatever your image you've got, when you run it through their engine, it strips out everything without touching quality. But you have to upload it, go to the website, upload it manually, and so on. So what I've done here is a little extension that lets you right-click a folder or a file in the Solution Explorer, and you can say Optimize Images. So let me just do that on all the images I've got here. It's a mix of, in this case, JPEGs and PNGs.
I was going to go one through one by one, tell you whether or not it needed to be optimized, and if it was, how much it did.
Great. And you can see the numbers here, 26%, 53%, 43%, 88%. So this is a lot of kilobytes that I'm now shaving off all my images. It's done now. That was it. So instead of having to do this manually, this is much easier. And there's another little feature here. If you have a lot of small images, sometimes you don't want actually to create a reference to them from your style sheet, for instance. You want to embed them directly into your style sheet. And the way you do that is that you Base64 encode them. And I have right here, extract data URI to clipboard. I just right-click an image, and this shows up. Now let me go to my style sheet. This is just the default project template. If I now do this guy. Now see, I have a very long Base64 encoded string right here. This is an image that's been, this is a string representation of the image. It works in all browsers, IE8 and up. And I no longer have to do a request to that file. It is now embedded in my style sheet.
So the image is embedded in the style sheet. So the style sheet is larger. That CSS file is larger by about the size of the image.
Yes.
But it's fewer files that have to come down.
Exactly. So so if you're using tools like YSlow and Google PageSpeed to figure out where your bottlenecks are in your website performance, this is one of the things that you can do to reduce the number of HTTP requests off your site.
Right.
So that's how that works. And I mentioned this works in the next version of Visual Studio as well. So if you have the developer preview, you can actually go download this and play with it today.
Cool.
Yep. Let me back out here. So you might have noticed that my CSS file here looks a little bit different than what you might used to from before you had the Web Essentials plugin. Now, you'll notice that the colors have a little glyph associated with it.
Right.
I can hover over to see a larger version of the color. I can even take a color, and you'll notice that little blue thing underneath. If I hover over it, I now have the option to convert it to hex, for instance. So I can very easily manage and work with colors using this extension. I can also do control dot. So control dot is what we know from C sharp. It's the same mechanism as the smart tags in C sharp. So you'll also notice here we have outlining and brace matching. So you might notice that the two braces highlight, so you can kind of see where you are. and even font previews here. So let me hover. You can actually see what the font looks like by hovering. Yeah, so that gives you a nice little preview. So speaking of fonts, if I have some CSS3 font that I want to embed in my style sheet, like here, for instance, I got the same font in two different versions, one that works on all the newer browsers and one that works from IE5 and up. CSS3 allows us to do that, to embed fonts on our websites. But it's kind of difficult to write that in your CSS. So now you can actually just take one of them and drag them onto your surface here. And we're automatically generating the right font face embedding for you.
And that is a feature of CSS Essentials?
Web Essentials, yes.
Web Essentials,
Web
okay.
Essentials.
All right.
Yes. because this is kind of difficult to write manually. You have to go to the browser and, you know, search for how to do this, and then you come back and do it. But now okay. You can just drag it onto the surface, and you'll get the result here nice and easily.
Okay, so everything you've shown so far is Web Essentials.
Yes.
Okay.
Image Optimizer and now Web Essentials.
Okay. I know people will download them all, but it's kind of nice to know what features are in what extensions.
Yes. Yeah, as I said, they work very well together. So, also, some of the things that I've been looking at is instead of just adding new features, new added value, so what are some of the problems, or what are some of the things that wasn't included in CSS before? And one of the things that Visual Studio never had for CSS is support for comments. Mm-hmm. There's no shortcut for a comment. But now there is. Control-KC is how we add a comment to all languages, except CSS. But now Control-KC will actually, in this case, just take out one line. Mm-hmm. If I haven't selected anything, it will take the current line. For me, this is really, really important. Because when I write my CSS and I want to turn off a property, in this case, margin,
right.
I have to delete it and then remember it and stuff like that. Now I can just Control-KC, it just takes out that one thing.
Delete it and put it somewhere else so that when you put it back in, you don't have to look up again what it is.
Exactly.
Right.
And of course, Control-KU to get it back. So so that was kind of important to me to get in. Something that has been annoying me a little bit all those years. Something like regions. Like in C#, some don't like them. I respect that. But a lot of people do like them. Mm-hmm. And regions are a way for you to structure your code into like manageable chunks or logical chunks. And we can do the same thing now. We can, like, let me take these two things here. I right click and say surround with region.
Right? Cool.
And say this is my menu. Mm-hmm. And this collapses very nicely here.
That's, I think, one of the nice things about regions. Even if you aren't using it to organize your code, the ability to get collapsible regions automatically is very nice.
Yes. And we do see a lot of people, we look at a lot of CSS files, real-world CSS files, and people actually do, actually what you see here where the top line says default and you have this long line, and then further down there would be one similar called menu, and
right.
Contacts page, and,
yep.
And it seems like a more nice way to do it in a region.
Yeah.
So. All right. So another thing is the way you type CSS. CSS is super simple, right? There's not much to it. You don't have variables. It's very simple and basic language. Yet you do a lot of typing of strange characters, or the braces and semicolons, colons, and so on. Mm-hmm. And it takes a lot of time. We might not think about it on a US keyboard, but a non-US keyboard. You have some other combinations that actually makes it a little bit difficult. And I thought, why not remove the need for ever typing braces and semicolons and colons? So I've added a little feature here. Let's say that I want to...
Removing the need to ever do typing. why aren't all these things in a toolbox? I could drag them on and then go to the properties window and set them.
Well, a lot of people actually like the editor, and I'm one of them. I like the code editor.
Well, you'd never get rid of the code editor, but me personally, since I'm not by training that Deepa web person, it would be nice to be able to drag and drop things on and then know ahead of time what the properties are.
Yes.
Right? Like, I know what a padding property is and a margin property is, but to me, it'd be easier to drag a body control or whatever style from the toolbox into there, just like you would drag a button onto XAML. It writes the XAML for you. And then you can set the properties in XAML or go to the properties window.
Yes, and that is also something that we're looking at. It has a lot of other problems associated with it, though. Different browsers behave differently, and how would you actually do that? But I do have some answers for that later on, also in Web Essentials. But I do get the point, though. And
I know it's pretty poor timing to suggest this shortly before the product's ready to appear in beta. But
yeah, well, we take all the feedback we can get at any time. But let me show you what I mean. Let's say I want to write a selector for a div tag like this. So before I had to open the brace, go down and close it again.
Right.
And then move back up and indent, and then I could start writing. Right. So instead of doing that, since I know the editor actually knows that I'm writing a new selector, then why not just say if I do a click enter here, I'll do that automatically.
So that was a click enter?
That was a click enter. I hit the enter button.
Okay.
I'll do it again.
So just the enter button?
Just the enter button.
Okay.
I get this for free, right? So I don't have to write those braces anymore. And let's do border radius. I can write border radius and I get it in here because I have the web standards update. But now I hit tab. And I automatically get the colon and an extra space. Let's just do 5 pixels. I hit enter.
And it gave
and it
the
added the semicolon.
Right.
And did the right indentation, and I can continue here. If I'm done, if this is the only property I need for this rule, I can do Shift-Enter. Shift-Enter closes the rule nicely, formats it, and it moves the caret down a couple of lines, so I'm ready to write my next selector. So this is really like a quick way to write CSS. You can be really productive doing this because you don't have to add any of those characters. You can actually write it only by hitting tab and enter.
Right.
Yeah. So now border radius, not everyone knows what it is. So here you'll see that show up this little underlined glyph here. And I can do the same. I can hover over it or click control dot to expand it, and I'll have info and examples. So I can quickly go see, so what is this property, what is the support in the different browsers, some example of use to get me going. And another thing that is in here is I can add the vendor-specific properties. So in CSS 3, because not all the browsers support equally the standard definition of all the properties, they have their own versions. We call them the vendor-specific properties.
Right.
And it's sometimes difficult to remember which one apply to which standards and so on. So now it's easier. I can just click here.
And I get them all.
And I get them all. Yep. So so that's very helpful for that scenario.
So I noticed that IE 6 and 7 had a skull and crossbone.
Yeah, so let's say that, you know, for some things, let's do it here. So a very common thing to do is to say that, you know, you have a height of something of 10 pixels, but for IE 6, it has to be 12 because of the broken box model. So what we can do is, we can repeat this, say 12 pixels. And then I want the last one only to apply to IE 6.
Okay.
So it can be difficult to remember all those hacks, but they're actually in here, and we can say make visible here only.
So why'd you choose the skull and crossbones?
Because it's a hack.
Right? Okay.
It's what we call a CSS hack.
All right.
So that's why I added it here. And, you know, I can write
it's
this.
It's not because those are unsupported and we want people to move off them.
We do. As a web community, we want people to stop using hacks. But the fact of the matter is that in some situations, we have to use them.
Okay.
It's not because we want to. It's because we have to. So there's no reason why the tooling shouldn't help us out.
Right.
And you can do the same for selectors. So a selector up here, I can do the same.
Mm-hmm.
So only make visible to IE8 and above. And it does this little trick.
Okay.
So, and again, the extension recognizes that this particular order is a hack, and so you see the glyph out there.
Right.
So it's basically for shortcuts, for showing you how to get around those browser issues. So, yeah, and you might see the last thing up here. So here, alphabetized properties. So some hardcore CSS geeks out there, they really like a clean CSS file. And they actually do care that their properties are alphabetically sorted.
Mm-hmm.
So now they can do that very easily.
Does it help you? Does it help you organize the body, div,
no,
tables, etc.?
No, that would be very potentially harmful if it's that, because the way CSS cascades between different rules, changing the order might actually ruin your website. It probably will actually.
Okay.
So it only does the properties within the rule. So here's another thing that it does. Let me zoom in on this guy. So when I hover over an image reference, as I have right here, it's actually shown. So this line, that's the actual image, and it tells me how big it is. So I can get a nice little preview. Mm-hmm. And the thing I showed you before with the image optimizer, where we can embed an image directly in the style sheet. We can actually do that very easy with Web Essentials.
Uh-huh.
I get this little menu.
And then if you hover over that, does it show you?
Let's take a look.
Of course.
Of course.
Excellent.
Of course it does.
Of course it does.
So this makes it
It's smart enough to take the image and give you the string. It's clearly smart enough to reverse the process.
Yes, it tries to find the image by looking in your Resolution Explorer and on disk for that path you have in here. If it cannot find it for some reason, it will prompt you to select the file you want to have inserted.
Okay.
So so no matter if it cannot find it, it will still help you out. All right. And then one of the most visible ones that we have here in Web Essentials is the live web preview. So this is something that has never really been attempted in Visual Studio, is to have the browser actually render the page and you can see your changes take effect as you make them. Right? Normally you make a change to any of your files, CSS, JavaScript, HTML, CS, whatever. Go to the browser, click F5. Go back to Visual Studio, make another change, and go back, and you just context switch completely in all time. So I now have a right-click menu on the project. So here, live web preview, or Control-Alt-Enter. And it actually spins up. You can see here, it actually spins up my development server, or IIS Express, or IIS, if that was my was in my project settings. So now I have this preview here. And let's just try something funny here. If we change the background to like red, and I now save the document, we can now see that it's red. Set the margin to 100 and save. Right, so we get instant feedback, almost. You have to save first.
Right.
Doesn't matter what file you save, it does a refresh. And that's a setting that you can specify up here. So you can, by default, it will refresh on built and on save. But you can also do live update CSS. So that means every keystroke will update this thing. And for some things, it's really good. Like when we're talking about margins and pixel pushing, it's really, really good to have this little feature. Let me show you. So one of the features that we also have in Web Essentials is that you can use the arrow keys to change number values. So now we have 100 pixels, right? If I hold down my control key and do arrow up, it's 101, right? So now you can see here, I can move the window, and I can really easily pixel push until I get the right value.
Right.
And I can save, and it's fine.
So Visual Studio 11 has the Page Inspector, which is kind of this on steroids, right?
Yes.
The Page Inspector, you would hover over this, and then it shows you where the code is. That's a feature of Visual Studio 11, but this is...
So this is inspired of the Page Inspector?
Yeah.
The Page Inspector is... Yeah, it's on steroids compared to... It's a very, very big thing in terms of what it actually requires to dynamically... Right. Be able to do what it does.
But it doesn't exist in 2010. So in 2010, you would get this, and then
it cannot exist in 2010.
Right.
Because it requires some work in the ASP.NET framework and so on to work.
Right.
So
it's a feature of the product. It's not an extension.
Yeah, exactly. So this is the way I could kind of simulate a little bit of what the Page Inspector is.
Yeah.
But with the arrow up and down keys for pixel pushing and so on. It actually is a very, very useful tool for doing these things. So you can actually open any website in here if you want. I can point the browser anywhere, and I can start working on some of the stuff. Mm-hmm. So it is a very versatile tool. And I use it all the time. Control, Alt, Enter, and it opens up, and you just get going. So what I do is that I detach this, and I put it on my secondary monitor.
Yeah. There you go.
Or down here. Or, you know. Yeah. So, yeah. So for HTML, if I open up an HTML file here, so this one, let's see. So one of the things that we know people use the designer for today is when they have to add a user control to a page. Because today, or ever in the history of Visual Studio, you have not been able to take a user control and drag it onto your web form. But if you switch to design view, then you could drag it on, and it would register correctly. And then you would switch back to source view.
Yep.
So that's one of the it's a little bit annoying because sometimes it takes a while for the designer to spin up. So that's no longer the case, though. I simply just drag it in. We have it right here, the control. This is my user control, my ASCX. And you can see at the top here, it also registers the tag.
Very nice.
So this is also in the next version of Visual Studio, but in a more integrated way. So this is very close. This probably takes care of the 90%, 95% case. So that's really, really nice. And also fix some stuff if you drag in a video. It now does the right thing. It adds a video tag, and the same with audio. So you get a few nice features for the HTML editor. But the majority of things are in the CSS editor.
Mm-hmm. And it's going to be smart enough about whether you're using HTML5 or HTML4, etc. If you drag things in, it'll know differences.
Well, if you drag a video in, it has to be HTML5.
Right.
Okay. But you know, if you use XHTML1 or HTML4, it will do the same thing if you drag the video in, because the browser actually does not look at your duck type and say, "Oh, it's HTML4, therefore I will not show video." Mm-hmm. That's not how the browsers do it. They say, "If I understand the video, I'll show it, no matter what the duck type tells me."
Right.
So that's why it doesn't really matter what duck type you're using for this scenario to work.
Okay.
Yeah. So, JavaScript. So, a few niceties here. Like we have brace matching. So you now see the two braces actually light up, so I can easily navigate. Imagine I have a lot of nested ifs and loops and whatnot. This makes it really easy to see where things start and stop.
Yeah, and especially as you're typing them, they're not all nicely laid out until you... reformat the page, so
yes,
that's a nice feature.
And you get outlining too. So this has also been something that, especially in those cases where you can deeply nest stuff, you can now collapse whatever you want, basically to create a better overview of the file. Mm-hmm. And so, of course, this guy also has surround with region. And it's collapsible. So it's the same thing as in CSS. So some of these features, of course, they exist in VB and in C Sharp. And now they also work here.
Right.
I don't know if you can see this. We have same word highlighting.
Ah.
Right. So
there you go.
Yeah. So you see test and test are both highlighted mm-hmm. here. Again, so you can navigate. This is what C Sharp does. So that was Web Essentials.
Okay.
There are some other things, as you can see in here.
The Minify Web Essentials thing?
Let's just take the whole thing. If I select the entire file here and say Minify Selection, this is the outcome.
Ah, okay.
Right, this is just for me because I'm curious sometimes. What does it actually look like when I'm minified?
Right.
You can use this, but I use it personally for more because I'm curious to see. I don't use it in production. I'm just curious.
Oh,
yeah.
Okay.
So, and you get the same in the. You get the same here, right? Minify. So that's the same thing.
Why? Just curious. Why don't you use it in production?
Because I would use either a build time minification or a runtime minification.
Okay.
This is a source file, and I would never minify the source file itself. I would always either create a new one at runtime or in some process. So,
okay.
Yeah. So it's just I'm curious what actually happens. I have to select the entire thing. Here we go. So it will do some. If you have colors, it will reduce the you know, if you have a hex code, it sometimes change it into the name. You know, red is shorter than the hex code, right? So it's just for seeing what the behavior is.
Okay.
Yeah. So. Yes. So the final extension is the CSS cop.
Okay. So again, just so everyone's clear, what we've been looking at so far is all web updates.
It's all Web Essentials. Web Essentials for Visual Studio 2010.
Okay.
It only exists for 2010. I've had some requests for making it into the next version of Visual Studio. And that's a little bit difficult because some of the features are already in there.
Right.
Or we might consider adding them. So we could have some clashes and collisions. Mm-hmm. So I'm a little bit hesitant to do that at this point.
Right.
That's not the same as I won't do it in the future, but I cannot do it right now.
Right. You want to wait until the product is done and all the features that are going in are going in, and then you can pick and choose what's missing.
Basically.
Yep.
So, as I mentioned, the CSS editors, and it's not only in Visual Studio. I mean, I see it across the board. They have been neglected a little bit.
Yeah.
They have not been treated as a first-class citizen. And, I mean, you've seen the next version of Visual Studio. It's a whole different story for CSS. It's most definitely a first-class citizen.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm trying to give the same experience to Visual Studio 2010 with this thing. But there are still some things that are difficult to do. I mean, we don't have some sort of FX cop for CSS. For JavaScript, there are some excellent extensions that will actually check your syntax and do some work and help you out.
Mm-hmm.
But for CSS, there really is none. So I've looked at some of the new projects out there, and one of them is CSSLint.net. Mm-hmm. Now, this is a JavaScript site. This has nothing to do with Microsoft or .net. It's just the name of the website. And it basically is a way for you to figure out and catch common mistakes that you've made in your CSS. And I've taken that. It's a JavaScript file. So I've actually taken the JavaScript file that runs this whole CSS linting process and turned it into an extension. So the extension actually executes the JavaScript against your CSS.
Mm-hmm.
And the way it works is, let me just, for demo purposes, I'm going to delete the border radius for the Mozilla specific browser here. And I can right click and I can say run CSS cop. I can also do it directly on the file out here. It's the same thing that happens. And so what's happening here is that the entire CSS file is being run through a lot of rules. Rules defined in that JavaScript file that the CSS Lint open source project has worked on. And it finds a lot of stuff. And all these rules you can turn on and off. There is, let's see here, if I show all files, CSS Lint XML. Here, by setting true to false and false to true, you can toggle these different rules. So there's no pre-UI for this yet. But if we look at one of the rules here, this guy, it actually says that, hey, you already have a WebKit-specific property. You should also include the Mozilla-specific one. Yeah. That's what this guy tells us. So if I then go back, this is where they play well, nicely together. I can actually, using Web Essentials now, add that just by opening this thing and say, add vendor-specific properties. Let me do that. It actually knew that the WebKit was there, so it only adds the missing one.
Right, and if neither of them were there, it would add both.
Yes.
Right.
Exactly. So it has a lot. It has a lot of different rules, and some of the things might not be to your liking. It's like FX Cup. You turn on and off, you know, depending on your mood. And but what I really like about it is that it helps me being consistent. I think that's why people use FX Cop to some extent too.
Yeah, it teaches consistency. Right, it teaches you over time. It's interesting to we covered FX Cop and profiling a few episodes back, and you learn things, right? Because the guys who invented the rules, you know, if you assume that they're smarter developers than you are, which I certainly assumed, and the guys who invented these rules are better at CSS than I am, then you learn things.
Yes.
Right.
And yeah.
Over time, you discover the things that you're doing more often than not, and then you stop doing them.
Yeah. And you can always go into CSSLint.net to read on all the rules, why they're there.
Right. Why is this an issue?
Yeah.
You know?
Exactly.
Values of zero shouldn't have units specified. Why not?
Why not?
Right?
Yeah.
Is it because, just because, or are there good reasons for that? You wind up potentially learning something.
Exactly. So it's all very valuable. Also, one of the rules that I really like is you specified the font size too often, too many times in your file. You should probably do your architecture of your CSS file in a way so you don't have to specify, you know, 11 pixels for your font size in 10 different places.
Right.
Maybe restructure some
things. Because it's a very iterative process. You're constantly adding new styles, and they're always at the bottom, and it's not necessarily within the context of what's already there.
Exactly.
Especially if you're inheriting a CSS file that somebody else wrote.
Oh, yeah.
Now, it's your job to add, you know, to it.
Yeah.
And this would help you do that.
And if you're thinking about it as in a team scenario, if your whole team used this, then you can inherit a file, and it would all seem familiar and look nice to you.
Right.
Because you're all using the same rules.
Exactly.
So, and again, this is something that I'll keep updating. So they do add new rules every now and again. And I will add that as soon as I can. I will get those new things into this extension too.
So does that imply a new version of the extension or just a...
Yes.
Okay.
Yeah. But I mean, you'll get the update within Visual Studio, right? So you'll figure it out easily through that mechanism. Yeah.
Cool. Very cool.
Yeah.
All right. Anything else?
I think that's it.
All right.
I think that's it for now.
All right. Well, thanks a lot for coming on and showing this stuff to us again. It was nice to get a refresher of the previous extension as well as check out the new stuff. So. Download Matt's extensions if you're doing web development at all. Absolutely go get them. And again, if you didn't see the previous version when we did the web standards update for Visual Studio 2010 back in September, just go and watch that. I'd love to see a spike in views on that over the next few weeks.
And also, please send me any feedback you've got. For these three extensions that I'm showing here, I've updated very frequently. And I do take all feedback seriously, and I do fix all the bugs that I can. So please send in feedback either from the Visual Studio Gallery or some of the user voice pages that I linked to from the gallery.
And it, we kind of touched on this, but it's worth repeating that a lot of these extensions, particularly the extensions that are written by the product teams, like the productivity power tools, for example, right? A lot of that stuff made it into Visual Studio 11. Not all of it, but a lot of it did. And a lot of the stuff you're doing here makes it into Visual Studio 11. So, you know, in a world previously, we would get a big, you know, the box would come out, and then we'd say, oh, these are all the things I want to see, and then you'd have to wait until the next box came out.
Yeah.
But now with these extensions, you know, to the extent that teams are doing them, you guys for sure, some of the other teams, it's a good way for people to funnel requests for not only what's in the next version of the product, the next release, when Visual Studio 12 appears, whenever that is, but sort of more interim releases. And I think, you know, as a company, we're moving a little bit more towards being able to provide features outside the box, right? We had Entity Framework guys on, and they're shipping updates through NuGet, right? So you want code-first migrations, you don't have to wait for Visual Studio 11 or 12. It's in Entity Framework 4.3, which is available in NuGet today.
And so, it's also something that we are continuing to do in the web team, right? Mm-hmm. We've done a lot with MVC and Razor and those tools,
MVC
right?
MVC moved to that model a while ago.
Yeah, and a lot of the stuff that we actually do ship out, we're doing it through NuGet.
Yep.
And it's a great way to update running websites very easily.
Yep. All right. Thanks again.
Well, thanks for having me.
Hope you enjoyed this, and we'll see you next time on Visual Studio Toolbox.